tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. So it's October 12th, 2019. And this is the day before exiting the rains retreat. Although maybe we shouldn't call it the rains retreat here, we can call it the sunny retreat. It did rain a couple times. It rained in August, which is unheard of. And a brief lightning storm and a few hours of rain in August, just the evening before celebrating Lungpa's new Jiaokun title. So in the Thais would say about that, Devata Anumodana. So we had rain then, we had rain on the Buddhist bicycle pilgrimage. So we had a couple of little bouts of rain. And so tomorrow, Lunar Observance Day, Uposatha Day, Pawarana Day, exiting the Vasa, and also, for anybody who doesn't know, then many monastics will give Dhamma talks, everybody except the Ajahns. It's a hallowed Wat Pa Pong tradition. And for some of us, today has been kind of a long day. It was the Upasika day. And for myself, trying to get a number of work tasks and things tied up and finished off around the monastery, myself and Tenajan Sekh are going to be traveling to New Hampshire for the Jetavana Monastery, Katina. And then we'll be parting ways, and he'll come back, and I'll continue on to Tisarana in Canada. Unfortunately, he can't come with me because of a visa anomaly. He got his visa extended, but can't leave the country, is one of the stipulations of it. And then come back, and we'll have the Katina here on November 3rd. So, give a short talk this evening and about practice and what I think it means to practice, and some helpful tips and ways of thinking about practice and trying to develop faith. And one thing I think that's important to acknowledge is that we're all mentally unstable. And so I'm speaking to you, and I'm mentally unstable, and you're all mentally unstable as well. And the reason I can say that is because, according to the Buddha, only the arhants are mentally stable. Only they have truly stabilized their mind, and the aramana, the emotion. And I can specifically speak to what happens in the monastery, because that's my experience. So goes up and down. It can be very difficult at times. And one thing we have to learn is to not trust our own mind so much. And we don't even really have to think about enlightenment or liberation. That just seems too remote, too far off. So we don't really have to think about like getting enlightened or getting liberated, but it's more about just becoming true people. It's almost like regaining our humanity. And how do we do that? And that comes from the sila, the virtue, and then stabilizing the sila, internalizing it till it becomes part of our character. And when it's part of our character, then we have a ground to stand on. When we have ground to stand on, then we can actually go somewhere. So when we have the sila, when we have the virtue and the precepts, and we see the reason for the precepts, we don't just follow them because somebody told us to, or we're afraid a senior monk's going to criticize us if we don't keep them. We actually keep them because we see the benefit of keeping them, and it gives us a ground to stand on, and it's good to contemplate and think about the precepts, think about the virtue and its meaning. And when we have a ground to stand on, then we can actually go somewhere. And when the sila becomes internalized, becomes a part of our character, then we have a shot at doing a little bit more than just scratching the surface of the practice, just scratching the surface of the Buddha Dhamma. When I say just scratching the surface, I mean, usually that's what most of us do. We might study a bit and feel inspired and practice a little bit, practice for a week, a month, get discouraged. We might start with a good experience and then we practice longer because of that good experience, and then we get discouraged because then we find we're up against the obstructions of the mind, the moods that arise, and we want to get peaceful, we want to have peace and happiness and joy and well-being. And then the Buddha says, well, you have to follow the path have those things. And then it's easy to get discouraged because, especially in America, we want quick results, instant results. We just want to click by and everything will be okay. It's we just want a click of the mouse button and get enlightened, or get peace, get happiness, get jhana, get pitti sukha. Fortunately, it's this slow slog of day after day practicing. And then if we don't practice consistently, then also these things don't deepen. What the Buddha called backsliding. So we have to practice each day consistently. That's why it's helpful to actually be in the monastery. So you don't even have to be a monastic. You know, if you're a layperson coming to the monastery on a regular basis, that's giving consistency to your practice. And so Longpa Pasano and the other senior monks, they tell us over and over and over again, it's not about figuring it out or having the right thought or getting just the right technique. But we can hear that thousands of times and still, it's like, I just need the right technique. I just need to figure it out. And then they tell us, so, okay, it's more about the consistency. It's more about the ripening the mind, deepening the practice day after day, little by little. It's more about the continuity of mindfulness. And based on experience, what does it mean to have mindfulness? You know, we can read all these the definitions in the suttas. We can read the Satipatthana Sutta, recite the Satipatthana Sutta, and that's a good thing to do. But what does it actually mean to have mindfulness? Or what is there any signs that mean we're developing our mindfulness, or that mindfulness is actually starting to happen for us? One of the things I found is it's actually quite subtle. I know that, when I was an Anagarika novice, I felt like I was very intense in my practice, and I would meditate many hours a day and was really diligent with my meditation, but I didn't have mindfulness. So what would happen is I'd be in the morning work meeting, and I'd be like, Buddho, 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 Buddho. And then, suddenly it'd be like Ajahn Amaro or Ajahn Pasano. Yanako! Yanako, the work monk's assigning you a task. Buddho, Buddho, Buddho. Wah! Oh, okay. So that shows that I wasn't being mindful. I was very concentrated, but I wasn't mindful. And there's no doubt that that's wrong concentration. So very intense, very sort of focused, self-absorbed. That's a sure sign that there wasn't mindfulness present. So how do we know what's the sign when there is mindfulness present? And this is my experience now. It's been like this for quite a while, just sitting there during the morning work meeting, feeling a sense of ease, but the attention isn't too internally focused, not too externally focused, it's balanced, and I can notice everything that's going on around me, but I'm not necessarily sending my focus out like that, but I'm just aware of what's going on around me, aware of my surroundings, aware of my internal world, aware of the external world, aware of both of those worlds at the same time. And when the work monk assigns a task, I know he's assigned a task. When I have a thought, I know I had a thought. When Ajahn Pasano says something, I know he said something. I know what he said. I can hear what he said. I can remember what he said. And that's mindfulness. That's what the mind becomes like when you develop sati. You can be at ease, noticing the surroundings, noticing the internal world. It's nothing extraordinary. It's actually completely ordinary. It's extraordinarily ordinary. It's not blazing lights or getting sometimes we read about Lungpa Cha exploding into a trillion pieces. So we might want to recreate that experience. We might want to think, okay, I need to have that experience. I need to have that sotapanna experience. But also, if you read the accounts of other Kribajans, it's not the same for everybody. That's how it was for Lungpa Cha. But if we try to recreate that experience, that's just a mental creation. That's not gonna make it for us. It's one of the paradoxes of trying to meditate. That's why I think meditation is more like an art. It's not really a technique, it's more like an art. And the art of meditation, the art of practice, the art of the Noble Eightfold Path. Because how it generally goes for most of us, for myself and many others I've talked to, we have a deep experience, a deep meditation experience, very genuine samadhi, genuine meditation experience. Then it's very calm, it's very pleasant, And then we try to get back to it and we can't get back to it. Because the way it came about was we weren't trying to get anything. The desire temporarily subsided and we weren't trying to get anything. We weren't trying to create anything. And whew, the mind was at ease. So then what happens is we try to then recreate that experience. And because we're trying to recreate the experience, then it doesn't arise because we're trying to create something. So we want that experience again, but it came about through not wanting anything, through not creating anything. So we kind of figure that out, but then we sort of but then because we still want that experience again and we're still striving to get back to that state again, that wanting is still there, and then it's that trying to get back to that state itself is actually blocking it from happening again. So then what usually happens is it takes about 5 or 6 years. Finally we give up, and then it happens again. Oh, okay, that's interesting. Then we start to realize it's not about necessarily, it's even hard to speak about. It's like it's not about, it is about striving for something, but it isn't about striving in the way we think it is. I guess I could say that. It's about the path. It's about practicing just for the sake of practice. It's about not even thinking about it, just practicing. We don't need to become anybody. We don't need to get anywhere. We just practice. It's something that I remember Lungpa Liem saying, like, at a certain point he had this conundrum, and it was kind of the same thing, like, why are we practicing? Why do we practice? And the answer came to his mind, we practice for the sake of the practice. And that's how he saw that, that's how you have to actually hold the mind in the correct way. It's samaditti, that's right view, or the right angle to see things. So we do that, then we can be at ease and we can be aware of ourselves, aware of our surroundings. So that's mindfulness practice. Then it'll deepen on its own. It'll go at its own rate based on our karma, based on our conditioning. It'll just go at its own rate, and we can just enjoy the process. We've got the sila, the virtue, the ground to stand on. And we just keep going. It's not to say the defilements or obstacles don't still arise, but with the mindfulness, it's more and more like, oh, okay, there's that again. And we stay the course, stay the course, stay the course. You know, consciously bringing ourselves back to a state of ease, consciously bringing ourselves back to a state of being aware of our surroundings, being aware of ourselves. I like the translation of sampajanya. So there's sati, that's the mindfulness, but then the sampajanya, that's the clear comprehension. So those two things go together. And the sampajanya aspect, the translation in Thai is just knowing around. So for me, that's the kind of just being aware of our surroundings. It's ru-ra. It's just like a fullness of awareness. That way we know what's happening and we can act. We're not overly going out to the external world, and we're not overly into like a self-obsession, but it's just balanced. It's just right there. It's also the image the Buddha paints when in the Anapanasati Sutta is a sitting cross-legged with mindfulness in front of one. So there's this sense of kind of balance. It's not out of balance externally or internally, but it's just in balance. Hard to talk about these things, how the mind works. It's very subtle, actually. And these are just a few kind of thoughts, just kind of thinking about how do these things actually work? What are they? What are some of the hallmarks of having mindfulness and having the sila? So I'll leave that as a short talk for this evening, and I hope everybody has good practice while they're staying here and gets a good rest. There's no morning puja tomorrow because it's the Uposatha day. So I wish everybody well, and I will leave it at that.